Welcome to The Catholic Arsonist.
Never just quiet. That's usually where I clear my mind too, because it's like
Finally silence.
Space out. Finally nobody's talking to me.
Okay. Well, anyway. You don't have to listen to these.
I will listen. I just have to know where to find it.
We'll tell you where to find it.
Is it on our website?
We just gained another listener, Shayna.
Is there a button on the website
I can just push? There's a button on the website, so you can access it through multiple platforms. It could be through our Catholic Arsonist website webpage from Fireside. You can listen on SoundCloud, I think, right? Or no, they don't go to SoundCloud.
I don't put them on SoundCloud.
They're on Spotify podcasts, which I'm sure you don't use Spotify.
Apple
Podcasts.
Don't even have an Apple.
Do you have a smartphone?
I have a smartphone.
Okay.
Android is what they told me.
It'll be in the Flack notes.
It'll be in the Flack notes.
As long as there's a button that I can click somewhere.
We can send it to you too.
For sure.
But going to find it.
If you typed in the words "The Catholic Arsonist" into Google, it would be the first thing that comes up.
Okay, good.
Use a computer?
I do have a computer, but I had to have somebody set it up.
He uses Carrier Pigeon too.
I would, yeah. I'd rather write a note and send it down.
No. This is good. See, we're already getting to know him more than...
Perfect. We just need a little podcast.
That session wasn't even part of our questionnaire.
That's right.
How do you take your media?
Yeah. Snail mail.
Snail mail. Okay, so are you taking it in there?
Yeah, sure. Hello. Welcome back to The Catholic Arsonist. We've decided to take the summer off.
Sorry for the late notice.
But we're back at it.
We are.
We're with our new pastor, Father Anthony Yates.
Welcome. Hello, everybody.
He's super excited to be here.
Yes. Lots of technology in front of me.
He informed us before this that he has never once listened to a podcast ever. So now he's going to be on them.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah.
He's going to start listening. As Alyssa said, we just got one new subscriber.
That's right.
Tell your family too.
I will.
Yeah, you'll have to do that. We always bank on like people come in clusters.
Yes.
So when we started it, like most of the listeners had the last name Norberg, but it's grown since then.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think on today's podcast, we'll just get to know you a little bit better. Alyssa took some great notes.
So. She took notes.
Wait,
didn't take.
What do you
I know. We wrote down what we're.
Oh,
we
see.
Brainstormed.
You make it sound like I'm giving. I have an evaluation.
Yeah, I thought she's been watching me over these last 4 weeks. Like, and she's gonna.
Well,
like,
we have father, but not
ask me about all this stuff.
As a spiritual father, not like.
There was a scary moment. I'll say this. I don't know. I don't think Father Yates was scared for this because he seemed very calm, cool, and collected. But I'm sort of in charge of like the readers and stuff for this Sunday 5 p.m. Mass. And this last Sunday, this was the first Mass where he had that Mass and I was there. And we went back to go get the baskets to start collecting money. And I looked at the table where the gifts were and there were no gifts on the table. And I was like, oh no, what do I do? And he was already standing at the altar. Like, yeah, it was like, you're a natural, so yeah.
That's right. I mean, I figured, well, the bread and wine's already up here, so we'll just start.
But I didn't put it there, so I don't
know.
No,
I didn't realize
it was
that
like
there's
manna come down from heaven.
Well, it wasn't so much that; it's just manna come out of the sacristy.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to put the tray out.
Okay.
I didn't realize there's not a sacristan at 5 p.m. Sunday Mass, so
yeah,
we need to find somebody that could do that. So
these are just some things that we're working out still.
That's right. So yeah, if you go to 5 p.m. Sunday night Mass, maybe you'll be the next sacristan.
Yeah, we're looking for somebody to keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, please apply within.
Anyway, sorry, Shane, go ahead.
No, you're good. So over this podcast, you're just going to kind of tell us, like, what's your story? How did you get to be where you are today?
We just want to get to know you, Father.
Get to know you.
Everyone loves a good story.
To get to know you.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot to jump into. Like, who are you?
Pretty much.
I'm a beloved son of the Father.
Amen.
You know, I was baptized and confirmed. And
it's a good start.
That is good to know that your pastor did receive all
that's
the
stuff. That's right. Yes. Yeah. It's validly ordained.
Good. Validly, that's important.
Right. So, yeah. No, I... Well, I've been here, what, about 4 weeks now, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess so, yeah. I came at the end of, right at the last week of June. So I guess July was kind of the main part. Now mm-hmm. we're at August 3rd, so wow. Yeah, about a month.
It's crazy.
So, yeah. It's been a lot.
It has been a lot. Yeah.
So, you know, it's been good. I feel really received and welcomed. Mm-hmm. You've got a wonderful community here. So mm-hmm. people just, it's been beautiful to see, actually, the mm-hmm. people at church and, you know, just a lot of folks here, a lot of people.
It was cool when you had first come, you asked me in passing, I think, really, like, do that many people always come to daily mass? And I was like, yeah, they do.
Yeah, that really blew me away.
That's beautiful, because I go to mass other places sometimes, but I'm not really thinking along those lines. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, gosh, I'm going to say probably 60 or so, if at least 60 people at daily mass
yeah.
at 8:30, you know. The convent has a little less, but it's still good attendance. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that tells me a lot about our community.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say the parking lot's always full.
It is.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen when school starts. Where do they all park? We only have this one parking lot.
they all still park there.
Okay.
All the kids will be in session.
Yeah.
Okay. Then they play on the playground. Is that the playground too?
Yeah.
We have
have the actual playground.
Yeah. They work the recess schedule around.
I see. I can't wait to see how that all works.
No one's gotten run over yet, so.
Nope. That's good.
Yeah, that's what we're going for. Yeah, knock on wood.
That was me knocking on wood.
But for those of you who don't know, this is like a little fun fact about Father Yates. He came from St. Francis of Assisi. So you're just sticking with the poor.
I got to learn more poverty, you know, spiritual poverty.
That's right.
Yeah, one Assisi to the other. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so then we get to celebrate our patron this week,
coming
her feast
up.
Day's coming up, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, but before I left St. Francis, one of my going away gifts was a image of St. Francis and St. Clair meeting, and it's really neat because it reminds me of how connected Clair was to Francis, you know, and how mm-hmm. much of a spiritual daughter she was of him, and the reason that she's her life was because of Francis. I mean, mm-hmm. so we have to understand Francis. Understand Claire mm-hmm. really so
yeah.
I don't know, the Lord has got a plan of some sort
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of or the personnel board just had a
this is an easy trade,
yeah, right, you know, like, okay, he's already got the Assisi thing down, so
yeah.
You know,
let's move on.
Just change, he wanted to change much on his letterhead and stuff, and his business card, just scratch out Francis and
perfect
Claire,
yeah. I do have to say, the weeks before you arrived, more wildlife started showing up.
Oh,
there were like
God.
Deer
oh
walking around
no
in the
way.
Parking lot, and then ducks in the like, front of church. I was like, all right, we get it.
I did see deer the first time, first week or so I got here. They were walking in my backyard,
yeah.
So that was interesting.
That was the first time you had seen deer?
No, here. I've seen deer
I was
before.
Like, there's no way.
At Jefferson Barracks down there by
yeah,
Francis.
Right.
A lot of deer in the cemetery.
Yeah,
there,
that's
so.
Right.
But
no electrocuted squirrels yet? Have you heard about
no,
this?
No, I have not seen any of those, thank goodness. Yeah, I've heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, I think whatever we did to protect the lines, they don't want to chew on them anymore. So
perfect.
Good.
That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
no more pictures of...
No more fried squirrel.
Yep. Yay.
So,
oh, man.
But yeah, good to be here.
Yeah.
Good to, get to know the community and share mm-hmm. a little bit now more about me. And,
yeah.
You know, reach out to those maybe that I haven't had a chance to meet yet. I met a lot of people since I've been here, you
mm-hmm.
know, coming out after Mass. Like, mm-hmm. again, because there's so many people, it's like
sure.
just mm-hmm. swarms.
And they all want to meet you.
Tell me your name. And I'm like, okay. So,
yeah.
So I'm doing better, getting there slowly, mm-hmm. getting to know folks. And, you know, I've been to a few dinners, breakfast with some folks. That helps,
nice.
You know, because I can actually spend some time with them and then mm-hmm. get to know them where the weekday Mass crowd, since I see them every day, kind of helps, you know, so I've got some of those people's names down, so we're getting there, you know, and they'll get to know me a little bit more too, but I mean, it's kind of, as you probably remember when my introduction to the parish, you know, I grew up somewhat out here in West County, you know, my parents moved out here when I was in high school, so went to Marquette, I graduated from Marquette in Chesterfield, so
mm-hmm.
So this is kind of home. My youth childhood was in North County, so Spanish Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So
wasn't yours too?
Yeah, we were very close. Oh, wow. Riverview Gardens, that's Trasco right. Village.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've met a few people already from here in their parish that said they grew up in North County. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of fun. Because I don't find many folks from North County. Definitely not in South County, because North County, South County, that was like the opposite ends of the world.
Right. You know? You got to cross the city.
You had to go, yeah. I mean, you had to go past, you know, you'd have to go down 270 and get past 40 and even go mm-hmm. further. And like, that was like too far, you know. So like when I was growing up, I remember we lived in Spanish Lakes all the way up 270, all to most of Illinois, mm-hmm. to Alton. So to go down 270 to like St. Charles Rock Road, I thought that was like, wow. We're
get going your passport.
Far. Yeah. You know, so... Yeah, I talk to folks when I was at St. Francis at and say talk about North County, like, oh, I've never gone up there before, you know, like it's not that far.
Different breeds.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
I remember when I first came here, the teens were I was living with my parents. I just moved back home, but right when I had started, I was living in Oakville where St. Francis is, and the teens out west here, they were wondering where I lived, and I said, or how you got to my house. And I said, you just take 270. 270 turns into 255. You get off at Telegraph. And they looked at me like a deer in the headlights, and they were like, 270 ends? I was like, are you serious?
That's right.
You've never been outside your bubble.
Nope. We don't go outside our loop. No. So, yeah. So when my parents moved in the 90s, when a lot of people were leaving North County to go to St. Charles. That was kind of the thing, the St. Charles sure. thing. So but mom didn't want to go that way. So that's how we ended up out here in Baldwin, yeah, Ellisville area. So.
And what was your home parish?
Growing up, little, or now.
When you moved.
Oh, out here?
Well, what is it now?
No. Yeah. My home parish is St. Clair of Assisi. When I moved out here, when I was in high school, Holy Infant.
Holy Infant, yeah. Okay.
So... Yeah, Monsignor Dempsey was the pastor then, and he kind of saw me through the seminary and all that journey, so that was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. And when you were working, so you went to college, and then when you were working mm-hmm. at Target, I'm like, Target. These are all spoilers.
Yeah.
Target. Was that around here? Like it you was, were staying
yeah,
local?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I lived at home and commuted to college, went to Lindenwood in St. Charles.
Yes. So you ended up in St. Charles anyway.
I did end up in St. Charles.
Much to his mother's chagrin.
Although I still live at home, so I came back, you know. I just right. went to school over there.
Yeah.
I came back across the river.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked at the Target here in Baldwin, so.
Right on.
Manchester.
Okay. Holloway. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some parishioners that worked with him.
There was.
Are yeah. you serious?
Lorna Anderson and Susie Phillips and Maggie.
Oh my
Phillips.
Goodness.
Well, now I don't know what I can't remember.
Ackley and Grand.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Those are a few that I remember. So
I was like, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. I always said, okay, please, you know, if I denied your return or something, you know, don't hold it against me. I promise. I'm much more merciful now in the confessional. Yeah, I started out as a cashier, 16 years old, Target, and then so when I was a senior in high school at Marquette, I did that. They had like a work co-op thing mm-hmm. where I went to school half day and then worked half day, and I got credit for that because I had enough, however that works. College credits or high school mm-hmm. credits or whatever it's called, yeah. you know. So I didn't have to go to school, high school, that long in senior year. So I was like, yes,
nice.
To okay. leave at 11:30.
Go make some money.
Well, make money, yeah, work. So, mm-hmm. so yeah, I started out as a cashier doing that, and then just kind of worked my way up. I got promoted, you know, became the head cashier. So, ran the front end, you know, make sure that when the line's back up, you know. 12 people in line, like, we need help up here. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen yeah. that in action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, get all hands on deck, you know, so making sure that runs smoothly. And then moved up again. I got promoted to a department manager and managed different departments in the store. So like housewares and the stationery and the domestics. That was my main
one. So you had people under you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mainly would supervise. So like the high school kids that would work in the evenings to clean
Can't
the store.
Can't trust those kids.
Nope. You know, you got to have people to come in and put away all the returns and all the, mm-hmm. you know, clean up all the mess that, you know, customers would make. Mm-hmm. I always love when they there would be a stack of shirts on the table, and they take the bottom one out, whoosh, and you know, whole stacks all over it. Mm-hmm. You got to fold all those and make it look nice. So trying to get high school kids, you know, to fold clothes, you know, like
that aren't theirs.
Yeah, you know, that was always fun. Like, no, that table doesn't look good. You need to straighten it up more. Yeah. So I've mainly supervised, you know, the younger teens that helped with cleaning the store at night. So. But okay. I was responsible for a whole department, you know, different department managers. So, So my undergrad is in, you know, business administration with an emphasis in marketing management. So, you know, I really liked the target aspect of making displays and putting the signage and the, you know, trying to get the products out of the back room to sell. And so if you see things in church or stuff, you'll know that's my marketing kind of thing coming out. You may have noticed I put up a little display by the St. Joseph banner in the baptistry.
Oh, I did see that.
I put up, you know, some holy cards and some information about the indulgence. So, you know, little displays like that you'll see. So this coming weekend we'll have a display up for St. Clair. We'll put out her relic for veneration and have candles and, you know, holy cards and, you know, talk about the indulgence that's available because I don't think people really know it. That is. And so you'll see I like to do the extra stuff like the sacramentals, you know, and really give people those little extra tidbits of
tangibles.
Yeah. So anyway, that comes from my Target days.
So. Every time I walk into the church now, I'm going to be like, this looks like Target.
It does. Yeah. Right. And I set up stuff. So, so, you know, it took me about 6 years to go to college because I had to work full time. Mm-hmm. And then go to school at night. So it took a little longer, but that's fine. Target paid for my college, so
nice.
That was fun. Yeah. No student loans, you know. So
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
At what point then did you begin to think about the priesthood of the seminary? Was that while you were in high school? Like, were you part of Holy Infants Youth Ministry, or did that come as you were checking people out of Target? Or
Right.
When did you hear the call?
Well, the first time was in fifth grade, I think.
Oh, wow.
When I was, that's the time we could become altar servers. So, and I just remember something, you know, as a kid, you just kind of, you do what you do and you just kind of sit there and you observe. And I just remember like thinking, maybe I could do that someday, or, you know, but that was about it. Not much. And they didn't have any of these camps or anything when I was growing up. No Kendrick Lennon days at the seminary, no youth groups or anything. They didn't have
find
that.
Your own way.
Yep. They just didn't have that stuff. It's I'm so old, you know.
You're not so old.
I'm the old priest now, 41, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
When I was at the seminary this past summer for Kendrick Lennon days, I think myself and there was another priest there who's a little older than me, but we were the old guys, you know.
That's not what they called you though, right?
No, but I was just looking and observing. I'm like, wow, all these newly ordained priests, you know. I'm the old guy here now. So, but my call didn't really come back till I was a senior in college. So, because that was about the time, it was the time that graduating, you got to figure out what you're going to do, you know, your next stage. And so, I thought I would stay with Target. It seemed like, you know, been there 9 years. They had appointed or promoted me up, you know, as far as I could go without my college degree. And so after I got my college degree, I applied to their store manager training program and went through rounds of interviews, another round of interview, and kept getting denied and get rejected. Yeah. And it was just like, what? I mean, it kind of seemed like it was just a given. Like, I was, at that time, thought, well, I automatically was thinking I would have a new job, you know, a promotion or whatever, because they had promoted me so much.
Yeah.
And after that, said, no, you're not what we're looking for. I'm like, wow. Oh, okay. So it was right about, it was really, you look back on it, and it's really, that's providence. I mean, God had it all planned. I mean, that's really when my call really started ramping back up again. It was right at college graduation, you know, what to do, getting rejected from Target, you know, and then just kind of start thinking about it more, you know, like, okay, what does this mean? My prayer life wasn't strong at that point. I mean, I went to Mass on Sunday. My mom made sure we did that. But, you know, again, I didn't have a youth group. I didn't grow up with that.
Right.
I was working full-time. You know, college, all that stuff. I mean, I just didn't, it wasn't part of who I was. And, but I remember the point where my mom invited me to come to Eucharistic Adoration with her and, at the Holy Infant at their Adoration Chapel there. And, that was kind of like my first reintroduction to prayer and a new way of prayer. I had never experienced Eucharistic Adoration. I never even knew what it was.
Because it was much less common, like,
yeah, I mean, that well, just time. We didn't have it when I was growing up. And, you know, I didn't, like, there was no Steubenvilles and stuff. I didn't do that. I didn't no idea, you know. And parish growing up didn't have it. Or if they did, I didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even the Holy Infant had an Adoration Chapel that wasn't, like, part of my regular routine. I didn't know about it. But Mom was the one who brought me. And so all this time, you know, this discernment of graduation, Target, you know, feeling what to do, you know, that's when I think around that time she said, let's go pray, you know, and so she really helped kind of reintroduce me to prayer in a new way. And that's, then after that, I found myself spending a lot of time there, just sitting there, you know, like, and it was simple prayer because I didn't really know a lot about prayer. I was just like, Jesus, I feel something. I don't know what it is, but tell me what to do. It was something like that kind of prayer, you know.
Beautiful.
Like, I didn't realize I was surrendering completely and giving him everything, but that's all I could say at that point. So, you know, life keeps going. So I graduated in December. So February the next year, my maternal grandmother was dying. She got really sick and passed away. And she was, I think, the one that kind of sealed the deal for a priesthood, because she was very influential in my life. I mean, we spent a lot of time with that grandma and grandpa. And she would always kind of joke around with me, like, when are you gonna get married, you know, you got a girlfriend yet, you know, like, no, not yet, grandma. And I want you know, great grandkids or something. But she always ended it, I just remember so clearly, like, you'll find the right thing, God will tell you, and I'm praying for you. You know,
that's sweet.
That she said that multiple times. I mean, and I think it was her that helped, because it was at her death that really, like, everything just started coming flooding back, you know, like, so I remember we got called to the hospital and grandma had died, and we were all in the room. Everybody's very upset and crying, as to be expected. And I just remember telling my mom, well, we need to pray for her. And I remember kneeling down by her bed. She had already passed. And I just started praying. And I don't know where that came from. Because that wasn't who I was, remember? I didn't know how to pray even. But something said, pray for the dead. And so that, look back at it, and I look back on that, and I say, that had to have been a confirmation sign from God. Because what does a priest do? He prays for the dead with the grieving. And I was the one to be strong there for some reason. Like, God gave me a grace, I guess, to pray for grandma. It was like, okay, she died that whatever Monday, and then, you know, then you got the preparation, you know, for funeral. I remember the night of her visitation, let's say it was maybe Thursday or something. I remember after her visitation at the funeral home, and just coming back home that night, you know, if you've been at a visitation for a loved one, you know, you just are so spent.
Yeah, it's exhausting. You're
just pouring yourself out because people are coming up to you. And even as a, gosh, I was probably, 23, 24 or something, I'm trying to remember, yeah. But even as at that age, you know, you're not necessarily maybe greeting all the people like your parents are, or your grandfather who has lost his wife, you know, but you're there and you see it all. And I guess I took it in, but I just remember being so tired. And everybody gathered back at my mom's house, you know. I remember my aunt, my uncles and aunts, everybody kind of came back. There was kind of like one of those decompressing things, you know, you just sit down and whew, take a, you know. I just remember being in my room, laying in my bed, and because I was so tired, and like this immense, like, feeling, something came over me. I don't even know how to describe it. It was just like a peacefulness. And it was like a clear voice that said, you need to look at the seminary. You need to look at priesthood. And I don't know for sure what it was besides the Lord, but I think grandma maybe had something to do with that.
Of course.
That she
wasted no time.
Yeah. So I just remember running downstairs. I was crying because that's like,
it's a big day.
Yeah, exactly. Grandma died. Yeah, then I get this call, you know, like, what does this mean? And mom's like, she was like just so casual. Oh, I could see that. I knew, you know, I could tell.
Of course you did.
Yeah, moms know about their kids. Like, yeah, it makes sense. Okay. You know, like, yeah, I could see you, you know, like, gosh, moms, you know, everything.
I was hoping you'd tell me I was crazy.
Right, right. So, you know, so we go through grandma's funeral and everything. And I'm still working at Target at this time. And, you know, so I need to. Okay, what do I do with this? Now I got this call, you know, it's like, oh, well, again, guess I'll go back to the Adoration Chapel more because that's all I know right now. Again, I remember
this
I don't.
So much grace. Like, it I'm is. Just, but you didn't fight it or
exactly.
You didn't.
Exactly.
Like, it's so beautiful.
And it's like, I have no idea what seminary even is. I didn't even know where the seminary was. I've never been there before. So I'm just go to what I know is Holy Infants Adoration Chapel and just sit there some more. Like, okay, now Jesus, you told me this. What do I do now? Mm-hmm. So, okay, do that, you know, for a few weeks or whatever, keep praying. And just one day, on a Friday afternoon, got off work, 4:30 or something at Target. Again, signs. Something came over me and said, well, I guess you need to go to talk to the priest. Like, okay, I don't know what that means, but yeah. Never just don't even know who the priest is, you know. So I just drove over to the rectory at Holy Infant on a Friday afternoon at 4:30 and just rang the doorbell.
See who answers.
Is there a priest here? I think I'm supposed to talk to one.
Is there a priest here?
And there was a priest there, and talked to him, and I told him everything like I just told you. And he's like, well, I think you need to go to the seminary and talk to the vocation director. I said,
where's that?
What is that? Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
He's the one who took me down and got me connected with the vocation director and my first visit to the seminary because I'd never been there. I didn't even know we had a seminary. I just knew new priests showed up one day. I just got dropped off like the stork or something, you know? Like,
isn't that what happened to you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's what they tell you now. And just, yeah, you need to go here. So, yeah, I mean, it was like, okay. And I just had a good visit. I remember telling them the story, you know, praying more and took out an application, kind of whipped through that thing like in a month. And most of the time it takes like months and months apparently for guys to do because it's an intense application process. Mm-hmm. But they told me I got it done in record time. I remember getting accepted and I quit Target, you know, and like this was now, I don't know, maybe say June or something. Quit Target, told everybody at Target that I was going to be a priest. I was going to trade in my red and khaki for black and white. And, you know, and a lot of people supportive there said, oh, we understand, we can see that. And, you know, I guess I had qualities of priesthood then. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, so quit Target. Started to figure out what does it mean to go to the seminary now. I got 2 months to figure that out before I get there in August, you know. Yikes.
Wow.
So
researching.
This is fall of 2005 now.
2005.
When I entered, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Were you like 10?
9?
9.
Oh, wow.
So close.
This is beautiful, though. I mean, I love hearing everyone's vocation stories, but it's such a confirmation that even back then when there weren't all these extra additives, like a youth ministry program or someone discipling you or a vocations director that was present and active like Father Fallon, you know, like the Lord will not leave his church abandoned. Like he will provide the means, that she needs.
Yep.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
So my first encounter with seminary was move your stuff in and then we're going to go on a trip. We're going to go across the ocean to Germany. World Youth Day.
Oh, wow.
That was my introduction to seminarians and priests. And I was like, oh, and I'm going to a foreign country on top of it. Okay, Lord.
Was it a good trip?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. I'd never been out of the country before. Mm-hmm. I mean, sleeping in a field with a million people in Germany with field mice running around you. Yeah, it was great. eating little box lunches with little sausages and, you know, German little treats. And they can't even know what it is.
So, well, abandonment.
Going, yeah. It is, yeah. Going to, you know, Cologne and seeing the cathedral there, or going to Dusseldorf and, you know, going to some of the medieval castles, or, you know, going, you know, to these beautiful shrines and seeing things of Europe, you know, it's just incredible. So, yeah. And seeing Pope Benedict, you know. That was fun. So, but yeah, I got to bond with brother seminarians and get to know them. So, so started fall of 2005, and 1 year, had to go back to school now. Just went to college for 6 years, you know, got my undergrad. Now I'm going back to school, you know, work on two master's degrees. Like, okay.
Keep on learning.
Yeah. So remember, my undergrad is in business. So in business, 2 + 2 = 4. But in order to study theology, you have to study philosophy first. So philosophy, that's a little more free. 2 + 2 might = 4, maybe
whatever
not.
You can prove it to equal.
That's right. So my brain doesn't think that way. And that was really hard.
So you had to go through...
I had to go through what they call pre-theology.
Pre-theology.
Okay. So I went to St. Louis University for a year for philosophy classes. Wild. Yeah. Now the program's 2 years, thank goodness. Because that was a crazy year. I mean, just think about it. I'm trying to transition to a new way of life, moving into a seminary. This is moving basically into a community, and you're living with 100 other people, and you have a room now that's, you know, 8 by 8, and you have a little sink and a bed and a closet, you know, and you're supposed to figure out how to pray, you know, you're supposed to learn how to, you know, wear this thing called a cassock and, you know, put a Roman collar on, like, whoa, what is that? You know, you're supposed to, you know, study, you know, philosophy, which I have never had any foundation in, and this pastoral stuff where you're supposed to go to this place called a parish and do stuff and on a weekend, like
what is this?
Yeah. This is all happening simultaneously in 1 year as you're doing this. It was wild.
I could see why they have a 2-year program now.
Yeah. It's so much better. I mean, I know it adds time, but it's worth it.
But you're here, like, so you stuck through it. So does that mean, I mean, throughout that formation process then, was there never a second thought, like, this is not at all what I expected it to be?
Very much so.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Let me get there.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
August, enter. By September, it was that. Okay. I don't know if I can do this, Lord.
Yeah.
I was so sick. I came down with migraine so bad.
Oh, wow.
I was in bed for 3 days in my little bedroom in the seminary. It was excruciating, and it was scary. And exactly that, I said, Lord, if it's going to be like this for the next 5 years, I don't know if I can do this. I've never had a migraine before, so that was new.
You're like, what is happening to
me? And what is happening? So this pounding pressure, and you can't see.
And it was all stress-induced? Like
stress-induced, okay. I think.
Gosh.
So I just remember laying in bed for 3 days with a pillow over my head.
Just like, welcome to ministry.
Yeah. I guess people brought me food or drink. I don't know.
I remember maybe I blacked out for 3 days.
Pretty much, you know. I mean, I think guys came and checked on me, if I recall. I remember somebody, how you doing? I don't know. I couldn't. By the grace of God, I got through. I guess that little prayer, Jesus, if this is what it's going to be like, I'm going to need you to do it. So, you know, after that, I slowly was learned how to let go and, you know, get through. But it was tough. It was really hard.
Would you say, I'm thinking about like our young teenage male listeners right now, would you say that that sort of physical reaction is less likely with the formation now than when you were there, or is that still a thing? Like, I don't want anyone to be scared listening to this.
Sure. I don't think it should scare you. That's not going to happen to everybody. Again, it was all because I didn't trust, you know, in the program. I was trying to do it all myself.
Sure.
So could that happen to a man now? Probably. But if he gives himself completely going in and knows that they're there for you to help you grow in love with Jesus and use the formation staff and the priests, spiritual directors that are there, use all your resources and completely abandon yourself and to realize that it's not just you discerning, but the church discerns with you. yeah, then it's so much better. Hmm. I did it the wrong way. I tried to take a control.
Your way.
I tried to do my way, and that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So yeah, don't get scared. You know, seminary is not in a bad place, but you know, remember the church discerns with you. Mm-hmm. Because at ordination, remember when right before the archbishop, you know, gives his homily, there's that call. And so, you know, somebody stands up and says, you know, Most Reverend Father, Holy Mother Church asks you to ordain these men, our brothers, to the priesthood. And the archbishop says, do you know them to be worthy? And he says, after inquiry among the Christian people and those responsible for their formation, I do say they are worthy. So the church is the one calls the man to orders. A church is the one who confirms that they're ready, you know? So remember that it's the church discerning with you, not just you by yourself, you know? And then it goes so much better, you know? Does our humanity still in there? For sure. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still going to be struggles because that's part of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you give it to the Lord and let him carry that with you, you know? So... I learned that struggle and that sacrifice more. We had a great priest who was kind of in charge of our human formation, and that really helped. He was he's a really good priest, and I really owe a lot of credit to him for that, just loving us and walking with us. And that's what they do now. That's what this priest of the seminary do. They walk with the men, you know. So, so yeah, even though it was hard and a year of philosophy. I didn't know what epistemology even was. I never even heard that word before, you know? So logic, that was crazy, you know? I mean, I remember being tutored by a brother who was a deacon, and I was in pre-theology, and me and another guy in my class, we would meet with him every week to do our logic homework, and he's trying to explain to me all these syllogisms and, you know, all these if this then that and then it gets this, and I'm like, oh, no. I at Target I just you know, put up the sign that the toilet paper costs $9.99 for a pack, you know, that's it.
Goodness. Change of pace, huh?
Yeah. So this is all, you know, still first your seminary.
Yeah.
We haven't, we got 4 more years, but yeah. our time's almost up. I better ramp it up.
No, this is good. It's good.
We might have to do next week or something.
It's funny having a guest on, though. You never know, like, if they're going to talk or if they're like going to wait for questions. So it's great. It's great to know that he is able to just go.
Yeah.
You're able to go.
And it's great to know that we have a 4-part series now.
Exactly.
Each year of Father Yates really seminary formation.
Right. And then I've been ordained 11 years. So I guess I've got 11 more talks, you know, to give.
Well, I'm sure people would come to that. Everyone loves to hear the priest speak. Well, you're welcome to share whatever you want from the other years of seminary.
Well, I can zoom through them really quick, okay, maybe. Okay, go don't for know.
It. So, tell us about your ordination. What was that day like?
Oh, ordination. Okay, 4 years of theology went by. Studied all that, yeah. Different parish assignments, get to know all that stuff. And yeah, so my ordination in the priesthood was May 29th, 2010. Mm. So there are 8 of us in our class, in my class, so... We were the second largest class. The two years ahead of me was a large class of 11. And then my class was the next largest. And that had been like the largest group of men ordained in, I don't know, 25 years, say, or something. So it had been a while. It was a big deal, 8 of us. So, beautiful day. Full cathedral, you know, just, you know, the glories of the basilica. Gorgeous. And Archbishop Carlson, I was his first class he ordained here, so he had just arrived to St. Louis, so we were his first ordination class here in St. Louis. He was the ordaining prelate for me, so so you have that beautiful day, and then you have your first, or your Mass of Thanksgiving the following day at Holy Infant, so Cardinal Dolan came, because as you know, Cardinal Dolan is a son of Holy Infant, so... So I was the first priest since Cardinal Dolan was ordained from Holy Infant. So it was a gap from Dolan to me, you know. So whatever time frame that was, I don't know how long it had been, 30 years or something maybe.
Oh, my goodness.
Then Father Fallon was after me, so he was the next priest from Holy Infant. Now I've got three guys in the seminary from Holy Infant, I understand. So so it's continuing. So Cardinal Dolan will have to hopefully come back three more times. But yeah, that's a glorious day. And he was the homilist, the cardinal was, and just celebrate that and love. And my first assignment was in South County, in St. Simon the Apostle. So and I stayed in South County for next till 11 years, till just recently.
Till so. 4 weeks ago.
That's right.
And here we are.
11 years in South County. So.
Oh my gosh. It was beautiful. I just like to hear the transformation that you had, like over going to corporate to going to philosophy. Like, I can't do this. Exactly. I've got this.
Shout out to Target for turning you down. We're grateful.
Yeah. I know, right? Exactly.
Archdiocese is grateful.
It is wild. It is wild. So.
Can you speak to, like, just from, like, a father's heart perspective, what it is? I mean, you were at St. Francis for 8 years, right? That's, like, that becomes a family, and you are celebrating the hardest moments and the most joyful moments with people, and you grow in love with them, and then you receive a call one day that you're supposed to leave. And I know, like, it's such a tricky thing because that's what you signed on for, in a sense, you know, but from the human perspective, I know that that's gotta be hard. So
very hard. The first couple years of being a pastor at St. Francis, I tried to do it like a corporate world. I tried to run it like secular life. So I didn't have that fatherhood aspect. I didn't understand that yet until I got beaten down so much again, kind of like, because I was trying to control it all and do it all myself. So kind of like back in that first year, first semester of seminary where I was just control. That was kind of like the flashback, you know, to that. Like, again, headaches, can't sleep, you know. I'm not telling you that to scare anybody. But again, it was because I didn't surrender and let Jesus be in control. Because I, you know, I knew how to balance the books. I knew how to, you know, supervise people. I knew how to do all this business stuff, but it's not the same. Even though people say a parish is like a business, it is and it isn't. You know, it's first a family. The church is a family. There's a reason you call a priest father. You know, so I had to really learn, what does it mean to be a father? And that meant abandoning myself first to the my Heavenly Father, to learn that I was a beloved son. Because if I didn't understand that, my own identity first, then there was no way I was going to be able to be a good spiritual father, because I didn't know who my spiritual father was. You know, I didn't understand my relationship to Jesus and to our Father in heaven. So that took some time, because that's really where that first turned around, you know. I mean, years of spiritual direction, years of retreat. And it's like you keep pouring yourself out like a libation. You keep feeling like you're just being, you know, squeezed out more and more. Like, God, I can't give any more. Last drop of blood. You know, you keep squeezing more. You know, you want more from me. What? I mean, a parish is, you know, a lot asked of a priest. And it just keeps feeling kind of like a parent, you know, like, okay, Lord, I've got these four kids and I've got this house to take care of, and, you know, work's hard, and you try to do it all yourself, and then the Lord's like, are you done? Are you done trying to do it all yourself? I've been waiting for you.
He's so gentle.
He is. He never pushed. And finally, I guess grace caught up with my nature, you know. You know, after the spiritual director says, just keep surrendering. Just keep surrendering. I'm like, what? What does that mean? They just keep surrendering. Jesus will tell you. You know, after years of that, and finally, I guess you get so tired of trying to do it yourself, and you just surrender, give it all. That's when it all changed. And the Lord said, see, isn't it much better? Why don't you do this from the beginning? So once I could receive that and really know my identity, then I could be a better spiritual father. And then really know that my people were my children, and they need me to show them the Father. So running the business of the parish is not because I'm just some secular manager, you know. No, making sure that the offertory comes in and the bills get paid, and, you know, the staff is here to support the parish, that's being a good father. Mm-hmm. You know, we do this because we're here at this parish because of something greater, mm-hmm. not just because this is a nice place, you know, to have, you know, a hangout.
Like-minded people around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to the parish. And that's what I learned. And that changed the way I preach. It changes the way I lead when I realize that Jesus is the CEO, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so you may have recalled that one homily I gave here early on a few weeks ago, I said, you know, if people come and talk to me or have an issue or something, or they want to discuss something, I'll always ask them, have you talked to Jesus yet about it? Mm-hmm. You know, because we have to make sure that we're doing everything for him, you know. So I'm going to help you pray better as a spiritual father, as a leader of this parish. I'm going to, if we have a problem, we're going to ask the Lord about it, you know. And that is the difference. In the secular world, you just, if there was a problem, you might just rashly, you know, make some decision or make somebody mad or, mm-hmm. you know, you might, I don't know, you just do something just because. Mm-hmm. But in the parish, it's so different. You don't have to do it that way. You can talk to the Lord about it. Like, Jesus, what do you want? Mm-hmm. This is your parish, not mine.
Yeah.
So we have to live more in that. Mm-hmm. And then when I can live like that, then I'm being a better father. You know, I'm being a better, you know, leader to show what needs to be done. So mm-hmm. I'll always pray, and I'll say this often, hopefully, like, I'll ask Jesus, what does he want? So, mm-hmm. you know, Father, that's it. Why don't we do this? Or why don't we do that? That's a great idea. Let me talk to Jesus about it. Yeah. So mm-hmm. if I say that, it's not because I'm just trying to push you off. Mm-hmm. That's really, I'm really want to talk to the Lord about it.
Sure.
Because that's what being a spiritual father means, mm-hmm. to best for you, my children. Mm-hmm. And I need to ask Jesus what he wants. And that's what brings me freedom.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm control. I'm trying to do it all by myself again. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go back there. Mm-hmm.
This line from the Catechism is coming up right now. It's the first paragraph where it says, God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man, that we might be sharers in his own blessed life. And this is the part that I love. For this reason, at every time and in every place, God draws close to man. And so I think to myself, like, when people explicitly say something like that, like, we need to ask Jesus what he wants to do. Even within me, there's sort of like a rebuttal, like, well, that'll take discernment and it's not clear and all, like all these like angsty feelings. But mm-hmm. it's like, no, at every time and in every place, he's trying to reveal himself to us. So like, mm-hmm. why in the middle of this proposition or starting a new project or this lack of clarity, would he not want to provide his will for us? And even if it is like, okay, Lord, I think this is what you're asking of me for this specific thing, whether it's family life or parish life or whatever it is. And making that act out of trust, even not being 100% confident that his voice is what I'm hearing, but like, he loves me. And so he's like, it's going to be okay. And that this action or this decision is coming from a place of wanting to do his will. And it's like, he loves that, you know? Mm-hmm. So absolutely. You're right. It is. It makes us free, like mm-hmm. to become who we're meant to be, I feel yes. like.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful that you, as a priest, are free enough to voice that, because I know even as like as someone who works with the parish, it's hard to not want to be on at all times, you mm-hmm. know, like, well, don't worry about me because I have my crap together. It's like, I never have my crap together. So yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
You bet. That's... Well, I got to be vulnerable and I want you to see my broken side too, mm-hmm. because that helps me to be a better father than you know that I'm. Who I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not perfect. So.
Well, good.
Yeah.
You'll fit in.
Yeah. Good.
With Father Andrew, not us. No, he can handle that. Oh my gosh. Well, we asked one of the questions on this long sheet.
Well, there you go. We can come back next week.
That's right.
Or whatever. How often is this?
It's weekly, but okay. We sort of switch off between you and Father Andrew. We'll switch, okay. and mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll have Joe on at some point.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
We have some guests sometimes.
Okay,
so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, then there's plenty of material.
Yes.
There certainly is. Yes.
Sure.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah,
we hope you come back.
Hopefully I can find it where it's at. Well, Catholic Arsonist Podcast.
Yes. Well, we can send you the link. Please. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is beautiful.
It is. It was good.
And we'll see you guys later.
Yeah. We should say that. We should start saying this again. We started out saying it and then we didn't. But yeah, if you have topics you'd like to hear about or concerns or just to like send us a little welcome back. Yeah. We'd appreciate that. thecatholicarsonist@gmail.com. And that's it.
Pray?
You want to pray? Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Follow us to pray. Go for it.
How about this prayer to St. Clair?
Beautiful.
Since we're celebrating our feast this weekend.
Beautiful. So let's do it.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glorious St. Clair, through your intercession, help us to behold Jesus, to consider Jesus, and to contemplate Jesus, that we may desire to imitate Jesus. What we hold, may we always hold. What we do, may we always do, and never abandon. And may we go forward securely, joyfully, and swiftly in pursuit of that perfection to which God has called us. Amen. St. Clair of Assisi, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, y'all. We'll see you next week.
Bye.